this time, I would like to have Martine B. come up and share on forgiveness.
I'm an addict. My name is Martine.
Hi, Martine.
And I just want to say thank you for having me here today. It's so funny because just before we got here, he was asking me where I was from, and I don't know where I'm from, and it's been a major problem in my life a lot. I've lived in many places, and I've recovered in many places, and right now I'm in one of those places where I'm in between two areas, and I'm originally from Canada, and I travel to Costa Rica regularly, and you know, like, I don't know where I'm from. And it doesn't matter because I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And this program has given me more than I could have hoped for. I didn't even know what I needed when I got here. And had I known, I don't know if I would have stayed, because I was so clueless. I didn't even know that drugs were my problem. And I even didn't know that I belonged here. I was one of those people who couldn't, I didn't identify with being an addict. And in the days that I got clean, a lot of people were talking about their war stories, and mine didn't match the ones that I heard. And I thought I didn't belong here. My problem was that when I read the first step, I thought it said drugs. I didn't read the "we were powerless over our addiction." And it gave me an excuse in my head to not belong. And what I've learned over the years is that that's where the disease lives, in my head. And the process of forgiving myself has a lot to do with that, changing what's going on in my head and allowing my heart to rule a lot more. I'm somebody who thought that I wasn't an addict, and it took me a couple of times out to realize that I was. And I really didn't think it was bad enough. You know, there's this line in the Step Working Guide: is your disease enough, or your addiction enough, until you compare it to others? I used to purposefully pick people who were worse off than me to hang out with, and I looked good by comparison. I was the one with the house, and the people who were homeless would come live with me. And you know, I had my little system all set up, and it worked to keep the denial going for a long period of time. And it's funny because they all got clean. I'm the one who straggled back in the, you know, it took me a while. And, you know, when I think about those first days when I first got here, how difficult it was for me to get clean. And it was difficult because I was in my own way. I would not allow, you know, that self-sufficiency is a lie part. I never read that one, and I would have never agreed on that. I would have had that change in the basic text somewhere if I could. Because that's how I had survived. That self-sufficiency had kept me alive. If I didn't allow anyone else to interfere with my process, you know, I was okay if you just left me alone. You know, but when I got here, it's the total reverse. I had to learn a whole new way of life, which is I bring myself to this group, and this group, which is a power greater than myself, changes me. Forgiveness is a spiritual principle. It's one of those that we have, and you know, it's hidden in there. And I remember that, you know, one of the things that I love about this program and the literature, and I'm not going to quote it by page, is that whatever you hear or whatever you need is in there, and you see it when you're ready to see it. You know, I read the basic text, and all of a sudden there's this new line in there that they added when I wasn't looking. And You know, the one, there's this chapter called Recovery and Relapse. You know, I wish I had read it before. Because I read it after, and, you know, the blueprint for my relapse was straight in there, right in there, word for word, but I wasn't ready to see it. And, you know, this spiritual principle of forgiveness is not something that I can give myself. It is something that you give me. It is something that God gives me, or your higher power. And it happens, it is for me, my experience with forgiveness is that it's a result of showing up and telling the truth. And we have a couple of steps that are in specifically for that. But, you know, one of the things that I do remember is that the things that, you know, one of the things that kept me believing that I would not be able to stay clean or I wasn't, you know, worth it, was I had these actions in my head that I had done when I was using, and that I, you know, when they would, and they would pop up at the most opportune, like, I'm sitting there, I'm driving to work, and all of a sudden I get this image of this action that I had done a while ago. And it's vivid, and it's there, and it makes me cry, and it breaks my heart. And, you know, all of us have those. And they're different. For everyone, they're different. And, you know, there's, you know, I'm going to share two with you, because I think it's important that, you know, I tell the truth, one. And two, that whatever your actions, you know, the gift of this recovery thing for me, the forgiveness piece, is that I've been able, as I work the steps, to separate my actions from who I am. And that never worked before. You know, if I did this action, I was this piece of shit. There was no separating the two. You know, the actions that I'm going to share with you, I am definitely not proud of. And I, they are not, this is not my fourth step, by the way, either. But they're little, you know, snapshots of things that I used for a long period of time to keep me out, to so that if you knew this thing about me, you wouldn't talk to me. I would not be allowed to be here. I would not be allowed to recover. And they held a lot of power over me. And one of them is that I have a son who's disabled, and he was about, I don't know, maybe 1.5, maybe 2. He's sitting in his high chair, and he is asking for water. And he can't pronounce the word water. He can't say it because he has a disability. And for some reason, because I'm an addict, you know, what he does is a reflection on me. And he's not saying the word water, and his cousin, who's the same age, is. And he needs to say that word. And he's pointing, he's not saying. And I have the glass of water in my hand, and I throw it in his face. And I'm driving down the road, going to work, and what I see is his face. He's, you know, 1.5. And he's just gotten a glass of cold water in the face. And he's and he's crying. And I'm upset because he just didn't say the word. And, you know, one of those things that I carry, that I hide, that I, you know, that I bury really far down because I don't want to be that person who does that kind of thing. And the gift of this program is, I am not that person, but I did that thing. And if I own it, then I'm free. There's another one story. You know, I always keep thinking that I was a better addict than, you know, I was less of an addict than other people. And one of the other things on my relapse, you know, I wasn't bad enough, it wasn't this enough or whatever, but, you know, I decide to get high, and where we are, we're really far from where I live, and 6 o'clock in the morning, and I have to get home, and I have my 13-year-old son with me, and I'm so high I can't see. I'm so out of it, I can't see. And I decide we're going to drive home anyways because, you know, that's what we have to do. And so I'm driving on the highway in the middle because it's too close to the ditch. And his job is to scream if I go off the road. And he does a couple of times. Wah! And then I straighten up. And that was an hour and a half drive. I'm sure for him it was like 10 days. You know, putting that responsibility in that young boy's for his safety and mine is unforgivable. And whenever I have a thought that tells me, and this disease does tell me that over and over again, that it's not that bad. Just one drink, you know, or whatever, one whatever. I remember this. And I have been given the gift of knowing that I don't have to do that ever again. That's the freedom of working these steps. The thing is, I have to own these things. You know, one of the things that I had a really hard time with in the third step is, you know, when people say, oh, I gave it to God. What's it? What is it? It is this. I have to identify what it is before I give it. I have to know what it is. I have to know the defect. I have to see how the disease works in my life. I have to know what I'm touching. I have to own it before I give it up. If it's not mine, I can't give it up. And there is pain in looking to see what I did. But the gift is freedom. You know, I remember when I started writing on my fourth step. I was finished with it, actually. I had written it all. It was in a notebook. I was visiting a sponsee in Connecticut. I had done my fifth step with my sponsor, and you know, I felt like I didn't get anything. Like, you know, people share about their fifth steps, like it's on a beach, and I don't know, the sky opens up and you're all free and birds fly. And I went to my sponsor's house, I did my fifth step, went home, no big whoop. I thought, well, that's boring. So that was in October, and then that when I visited that sponsee was in January, a few months later, and I get to Montreal, and I realize, oh, shit, she's got my fifth step. She's got my fourth step. That whole thing, the whole book. I left it at her house. And for 5 minutes, I went, and then I went, whatever. There is nothing in there that has power over me anymore. It's gone. I am not that person. And this program has given me this gift of not being ashamed of who I am. I am not happy about certain actions that I take. I am not happy about certain actions that I don't take or words I don't say. And but I'm not ashamed of who I am. And, you know, I don't know where else I could have gotten this. And the thing about this recovery process is that it's an ongoing thing. You know, I don't find these things in the basic text until I'm ready to see them. And these, you know, I remember I had a friend who used to say, it's like, you know, all of your skeletons in your closet, when you open the door, they're all going to fall out. They don't. Somebody's in there who's handing you one piece at a time. They don't all fall out. And, you know, once you get handed one, you know, I had also, that's a, you know, the gift, all of these things my sponsors used to say. One of them, as she used to say, is that, you know, all of these issues that we have to deal with, that we have to own, that we have to decide to, if we're going to work on it or not. She says it's just like Wheel of Fortune. You know, you spin the wheel, money comes up. You go, am I going to deal with this now or not? Nope. Spin the wheel. Relationships. Not so much. Swing again. The thing is, it's all good. But they don't get off the wheel. They stay on there. They'll come up again. You can always choose if you're going to deal with it or not. It's just a question of how much pain do you want to be in. And if you've spun the wheel a couple of times, the pain gets greater. That's my experience. But through all this, this is not, you know, I spin the wheel, I make those decisions, but I never have to go through anything alone. And that's something that's really a gift, and also sometimes a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to be told what's up with me sometimes, you know? I don't want people to remind me that maybe I should be working on this, or, you know, have I done this, or whatever. But I need that. You know, I cherish the people in my life who will tell me what's going on. Even if I ignore it, like, 25 times, when I'm ready to see it, I remember the 24 times before that they've told me. And they've loved me enough to tell me 24 times. And that's, you know, that's something that I didn't find anywhere else. You know, people outside, this is such a, there is nowhere like this place. There's nowhere else where people will just stand by you while you do the same shit over and over again. And they'll laugh when you say that because they understand there's nowhere else where this happens. You know, you get ready to change when you're ready. And you know, the other gift about this forgiveness thing is that as I forgive myself, I can forgive others. And when I say forgive myself, I mean, like, I get to this place of peace inside. You know, I really related to what Joy had to say, because that level of peace is priceless. It is. It really is. And, you know, and I know that I've got about this much work done in that department, and I feel so much better about myself. In the past year, I've had a difficult year also, and but in the past year, I've surrendered another area of trouble in my life, which is food addiction. And once again, this program is not something that is, you don't get punished. There's no penalty. You know, I've been overweight my whole life. I'm 50-some, and I've decided, or I've surrendered finally. It works. It doesn't matter that I'm not 25 and it's not going to look a certain way. It still works. And that's the thing. There is no penalty. If you didn't want to change this thing for through 20 years, it doesn't matter. If you decide today, right now, right this minute, that you're willing to surrender whatever it is, it's going to work. And that's a gift. And not only will it work, but you'll get a bunch of people who either say, I've been there, I've done that, try this, don't do that. You know, you get all that support, and you get this deeper level of peace and freedom. So, you know, it's hard to remember how much I fought not to be here. Because right now, you know, this is the only place that I go to that has everything for me, everything, in all shapes and forms, in all different languages. It's always there. I went to Mexico a couple of years ago, and you walk into a meeting, and it's so funny because at that time I didn't speak much Spanish, and but you walk in and you see the people sitting down, and you already know what's going on, and you know who's the one who's the drama queen, and you know who's the one who's this or that or whatever. You know, this person walks up and she's crying, and people kind of ignore her, and then this, like, we go, okay, so I'm assuming that she's been saying that every week for the past 20. You know, I don't know, I just walk in. So, and then there's this other person who walks up and their heart is breaking. I don't know what they're saying. I don't even know what they're talking about. But you can feel it. The language of empathy is always there. And then, you know, people gather around and support them. And you know, it's just, it's the same everywhere you go. Formats are different. A lot of places, they don't do it right. But the message, the message is always the same. This program saves our lives every day. And I'm certainly, certainly grateful to all of the people who came before me, to all my sponsors. I wish I had a story that was, you know, one whole big thing, but that's not my story. I'm just very grateful to all of these women who carried me when I could not be carried, when I didn't even believe I deserved anything. They saw something in me that I didn't. And that is what is healing for me. That's what was healing. And I remember I used to give them such a hard time. I used to argue with them. I'm just a piece of shit. Keep coming back. It's all good. You'll work through this. And you know, one of the things that is very important is that, you know, people say all of these things and they repeat them. And they're true. There is never anything that someone told me in the rooms that has been not true. Keep coming back, it'll change. Just keep at it just a little longer, it'll change. Do this, it'll change. Don't go away. You know, all of these things that they said would happen, because I remember I used to go to conventions and I, you know, I was alone and I felt like lost, and you know, all these people seemed to have it and I wanted it, and I didn't believe I could get it. And they said, yes, yeah, you can, you know, that our message is any addict, so I guess I fit that category. And all of these things that they said would happen to me did. I have, you know, I was severely overweight. I've lost a lot of weight. I was unemployable. I was on welfare until I was 35, I think. And I'm able to work now. I didn't even know how to drive a car. I learned I was 36 in recovery. I mean, all of the things, all of the gifts in my life have come through recovery and people who've walked me through all of these fears that I've had. And I went back to school. Actually, I will be graduating this May, which is like, it's so funny because I resisted. Even like, you know, I was talking to people, well, I'm going to graduate, blah, blah, blah. And they go, you must be so happy and proud. No, I'm not. This is just bullshit. That's not true. See, and people know me better than I know myself. I really care about this. It took me 40 years of my life to get to graduation. And when I don't believe in myself, you know, I call my friend and I told her that. She says, I'm so proud of you. You know, if you look in the dictionary and you see tenacity, your picture's in there. And I thought that was so sweet because I don't see that in myself. And that's why I need others. All of these things that I can't see in myself, until I can, I need you to reflect that to me. And I'm grateful. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
I'd like to thank both of these ladies for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us today.